Luke chapter 15, let me read certain verses, starting at verse 1. Now all the publicans and sinners were drawing near unto him to hear him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake unto them this parable, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that even so there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Verse 11, And he said, A certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 17, But when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. Verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was yet afar off, his father saw him, and was moved with compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. 23. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to him one of the servants and inquired what these things might be. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. But he was angry, and would not go in. And his father came out, and entreated him. But he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and I never transgressed a commandment of thine. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But when this thy son came, who hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou killedst for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that is mine is thine. But it was meet to make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for every portion of the Holy Scriptures. Thou dost know that some are older than others, and yet all of us who have read this book, illumined by thy Spirit, know that indeed it is the Word of God. Thou dost know what it means to some. Thou dost know what it can mean to all. And we desire that some who are in darkness may be illumined this day, and that those who are partakers of light shall receive more light. To accomplish this, it must be of thyself, Father, in the hearts of those who hear and upon the lips of him who speaks. So look down upon us and bless us for good, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You remember that song? There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. You remember those words? But as you sang them in the past, did you ever give any attention to them and ask what they meant and whether or not what you were singing was the Word of God or some thought of man? There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. I read you about those 99 last week, but spoke to you especially about the one. I read to you last week about the 9 and 1, the 9 coins that were not lost, the 1 coin that was, and about the 1 in 1, the 1 son that was lost and the 1 son that was not lost. I gave you no explanation about the 99, the 9, and the 1 son, the elder son. It is essential to understand about these, because I told you the parable was the parable of lost and found. But lost and found, the 1 sheep, the 1 coin, the 1 son. You might ask, well, there was only 1 lost sheep and 1 lost coin and 1 lost son. That is why I have to explain this parable, take an entire message to discuss with you these 99 that so many people take them to be, that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. But would you believe me if I told you that there were not 99 that safely lay and 1 that was lost, but there were 100 lost and only 1 of them knew about it? That there were 10 coins lost and only 1 of them is brought to our attention as being lost? That there were 2 lost sons, but only 1 of them knew he was lost? That is why the Savior, when he gets through describing with joy about the 1 sheep and the 1 coin and the 1 son, rejoicing in every instance, having ended that, he adds what seems to be something irrelevant, something out of harmony with the rest of Luke chapter 15, but it is absolutely essential to complete the introduction of Luke chapter 15, because we have that the Savior has sinners coming and listening to him, and he receives them and he eats with them. This is the Savior and his attitude toward publicans and sinners. But it says there is another class who, when they see these publicans and sinners being received by the Savior and eating with him, it says they murmur and they criticize. Who are these? These are they who are represented by the elder brother. The elder brother. Yes, because everybody is happy in this parable in 3 parts, except 1 person, and that's the elder brother. The shepherd that finds that lost sheep rejoices, and he comes home and he calls his friends and his neighbors, and they rejoice. Everybody is happy. And the woman that finds the coin is happy, and she calls her friends and neighbors together, and they are happy. And the son comes home, and the father is happy, and he calls all of his together, and they are happy, until somebody comes in from the field, and he's suspicious. He hears music and dancing. And he calls one of the servants to him and he says, "What's happening in there? Your brother has come home and your father hath killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound." And his heart? Hatred, anger, displeasure, and he will not go in. Now, do you understand? Here is the Savior who receives sinners and eats with them, and these Pharisees murmur and they criticize the Savior. And so here is this father who receives a sinning son who has returned home, and everyone rejoices except that elder brother. And he will not go in and join the festivities that were started by his father. The Savior has illustrated three times the publicans and the Pharisees as lost sinners. If you see a man that's a drunkard, that is a thief, that is a derelict, you know that he's lost. And so the Savior illustrates with a sheep and a coin and a son in a far country those who are evidently lost and who need to come back home. Everybody knows that. But there is another class that is just as lost, and it is not so evident that they are lost. And in fact, some of them never learn that they are lost until in hell they lift up their eyes being in torment, and then they suddenly realize it. But the Lord Jesus is seeking to bring attention not to the lost that they are lost in the sheep and the coin and the son, because it says the publicans and sinners were coming to him. They knew that they were lost. They were coming to the Savior for salvation. And so he is speaking this parable to these Pharisees that they might understand that the sheep and the coin and the son are like these publicans and harlots and sinners that come and are saved. He is speaking that to the Pharisees. But now, he is not speaking this part about the elder son to the publicans and the sinners, but he is speaking this part of the parable to the Pharisees, because he told the Pharisees first that yes, these whom you criticize me for receiving, they are publicans, they are sinners, they are lost. The Savior had said it three times. He said, but there's something that you have overlooked. There is another one who is lost as well. And that is you. And you do not know that you're lost. That's the sad thing. Understand now that twice a crisis arises and the Lord Jesus brings it to a head, and the crisis having been reached results in rejection of the Savior in one instance, and in the other, we do not know. Let me tell you again. Do you remember when the rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus? All looked well. He kneeled at his feet. He asked what he had to do to inherit eternal life. He confessed that he had been one who had kept the commandments. And the Savior said to him, "One thing you lack. Go sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and come follow me, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." And the rich young ruler turned his back on the Savior and walked down to perdition, because he loved what he should have hated. It says covetousness, which is idolatry. And so this crisis that arose, and our Savior presented to him a challenge, a test, and suddenly there was revealed to him the actual condition of his heart, and it was evidenced by his saying no, and he turned his back and walked away. He had someone whom he put before God, and that was the God of possessions. And he did not know that, but the Savior brought it to his attention. It came to light when the Savior put one question to him. And when the question was put to him, sell what you have and give to the poor, he said, no. And he was exposed. He is a lost sinner. With all of his zeal, with all of his seeking, with all of his morality, he was lost. In like manner, here are these Pharisees, and they see what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. And so, as in the case of the rich young ruler, so in their case, he has to bring things to a crisis. And this is the way he does it. He speaks this parable, and when he gets through, he talks about a father's joy and the joy of everybody else that is in his father's house. And now the elder son comes in from the field, and his father says, what is your attitude toward the brother that's returned home? And in his heart there was hate. Now understand, in the instance of possessions, it says the love of money is a root of all evil, which some reaching after have been led astray and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so here is something that a person should hate as much as they should hate their hand or their foot or their eye. But instead of hating it, he loved it. And now, here is something that should have been loved, but instead of loving it, he hated it. And so the Lord Jesus just brings an object before his eyes. And this son that prided himself on always keeping his father's commandments had broken the commandment that meant most to his father, the love of his son. Do you see? Suppose you had all sorts of commandments, but the thing that you loved most, and you commanded others to love that thing that you loved most as well, instead of loving it, the person hated it. Would you say that they had kept all your commandments? You say they failed in the commandment that was the most important of all. Why, of course. And this is how the Savior exposed the true condition of the heart of the elder brother, and he exposed the condition of the heart of those Pharisees that are watching the Lord Jesus Christ as he receives sinners and eats with them. And so for that reason, I'm telling you that there is not the parable of the 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold and one is lost. There are 100 who are lost. But one of them is lost in the mountains and the other one is lost. We're not told where it is in Matthew 18, but it says the others are lost in the wilderness. You can be lost in two places. You can go astray and be lost, and you are aware that you are lost. But you can be close to the Savior and be lost and never know that you're lost. Let me ask you, when the Savior instituted that final Passover, where was Judas Iscariot? You say, why? He was at the Passover table with the Savior. Why, of course he was. And the Savior took the sop and gave it to him. And so was he in a far country? Was he in the mountains? Or was he with the Savior around that Passover table? You say, he was with the Savior, and yet, what was happening? It says, the devil put into his heart, and finally, Satan entered into his heart, and he was with the Savior all along. You say, yes, he was. And so a person can be lost sitting at a Passover table as well as being off in the mountains somewhere. And that's what sinners fail to understand. That's what's wrong with so many of you out there. That's why you're going to perish and go to hell, because you're here this morning. You say, I'm not one who stays home. Why, I go to church Sunday morning most of the time and sometimes more than on Sunday morning. You see, I read my Bible. And so I'm not one who's lost. No. You are not lost in the mountains. You're not lost in the far country. You are lost as you sit here in this church building. You are lost because if I examined your heart, it would be as black as night if I were able to intelligently bring a test to you, as the Savior brought to the rich young ruler, and as he brought to these Pharisees. Because here is something that you fail to understand. People say, do you believe in the Lord Jesus? You say, yes, I believe in Jesus. You do not know what you mean when you say, I believe in Jesus. Because the truth as to whether one has been born again is not just saying, I believe. Though if there is true living faith in the heart, you are saved. But so many people think that intellectual acquaintance and going to church and singing songs about Jesus mean that you believe in Jesus and therefore you are saved. But that is not the thing. The Savior says to them that believe him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And this is what the Savior says about some. He said, you must love what my Father loves, and you must hate what my Father hates. He says in James 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the love of the world is enmity with God? And so here are they who say, yes, I'm a child of God. And God says, I hate these things of the world. And you say, I love these things of the world. And God says, I love my little flock. And you say, I hate the little flock. You will not come out and say, I hate it. But the fact that you do not think much of it is that there will be a meeting tonight and you won't be here. There was a meeting at which we remembered the Lord Jesus and you weren't here. And there will be a meeting Wednesday, God willing, at 7:30 and you won't be here. And you do not love the children of God. You see, you have your own friends. Do you realize that? This is what that elder son said to his father. He said, you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Well, let me ask you this. Are the friends of this elder son who keeps all his father's commandments, are the elder son's friends not his father's friends? Tell me, the friends that you like so much, that you associate with, would you be able to bring them to remembrance meeting and have them break the bread and drink the cup? Are they cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, your intimate friends? You say, I couldn't bring them here. Why? Why, of course you couldn't. Why? Because the Father has friends and you have friends, do you see? And your friends are not the Father's friends. Because who are the Father's friends? Sinners like that son that had come from the far country, that had repented, that said, I am no more worthy to be called thy son, that had been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, that are a part of the body of Christ. They are the Father's friends. They are the Savior's friends. And tell me, can you not enjoy making merry with them? Why, the last hour, just before this one, we were reading from the Scriptures. We were praising the Lord. We were singing to the Lord. We were thinking about the Savior who came from heaven and died for our sins. Lord of glory, we adore thee. Christ of God, exalted high. And tell me, is he your friend? Isn't that strange? Your friend, and you're not here to remember him, or you feel uncomfortable, or I get nothing out of that meeting, or the prayer meeting, it's so boring. I'm just asking you this. Strange that you have friends, and you can make merry with them, but the Father's friends are not your friends, and God never gives you anything with which you might make merry with your friends. Do you know why? Because there has never been an occasion that justifies the Father doing anything to give you cause to rejoice with your friends. If they get saved, if they come in from the far country, if they repent and say, I am no more worthy to be called thy son, then the Father will kill a fatted calf. Why? There's something to rejoice about. But as long as your friends continue in sin, or your self-righteous friends continue in their smugness and say, well, I'm religious, or I'm not an atheist, as long as they remain that way, the Father is not going to kill any calf. There's nothing to celebrate about. You are one of the 99. But you do not safely lay in the shelter of the fold. You are dead and you are lost and you are blind as much as that son in the far country. But the only difference is that you are not aware of it. God knows about it. The Lord Jesus knows about it. The Spirit of God knows about it, and I and every born-again Christian knows about it, but you do not know about it. And you intend to remain in your religious protection. Do you see, it's so good to be with those who are so-called sheep of God. Now, I'm going to show you just why this is true. I want you to see how the 99 are spoken of in the Scripture in a way that is expressed ironically. When the Lord Jesus was criticized for eating with friends and publicans elsewhere in the Gospels, he said, "They that be whole have no need of a physician, but they that be sick." He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, whom do you think he meant by, "I came not to call the righteous"? You say, why, those pretended righteous ones, those self-righteous Pharisees. He did not come to call them. Why, of course, but what did he call them? He called them righteous. He called them whole, but they were righteous and whole in their own eyes, not in the Savior's eyes. He knew what their true condition was, and he knows what your true condition is. And so as long as you say, "I am righteous, I am whole, I have no need of conversion," the Lord Jesus will say to you, "Then I did not come from heaven to save you." You see, I cannot cure people that are whole, that are well. They have no need of curing. And at the same time, I cannot save people who are not sinners, because they do not need saving. And so the Lord Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And here are those who are criticizing the Lord Jesus as he saves sinners and calls sinners to repentance. And so the Lord Jesus said, "I can do nothing for you because you are well, because you are righteous. You have no need of repentance." Do you see? And I'm going to make it even plainer if you cannot grasp this. Because the Savior spake a parable to certain kinds, and this is the parable. He spake this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. I see. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. Exactly what we have in Luke chapter 15. Here is this self-righteous elder son. He trusts in himself that he is righteous. And what about his elder brother? He despised his brother. The Lord Jesus understands you. He has you figured out. He knows exactly what you are. You are one who is self-righteous, and you despise others. How do I know that? Why, the very fact that here is one that is truly repentant, that comes home, and the Father is glad about it, and you will not even come in fellowship with him. And the Savior condemns you for that. And so go not around boasting, "I'm a believer in Jesus." That means nothing. Here is a man who said, "I've kept your commandments." The Lord said, "You have? Good. Then sell what you have and give to the poor, and come follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven." If he kept the commandments of God, and the commandments of God say this, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." If you've kept that commandment, then you will sell what you have and give to the poor. But the man understood that he did not love his neighbor as himself, that he loved his possessions. And let me tell you about that kind of person. The Savior spoke about covetousness. And it says the Pharisees who were rich scoffed at him. And the Savior said this, "You are they who justify yourselves in the sight of men." You are one who is justified by yourself. How good. You see, you're going to be tried, but instead of going to the judge who makes the final decision, you judge yourself and you decide and you say, "I'm innocent." And you never go and get tried by the judge. It doesn't matter what you say about yourself or what you do. It is what the judge says that determines the outcome of the case. And you who go through life and justify yourselves and say, "I am righteous," and you despise others who say, "You must be born again. You are not saved unless you are cleansed by the precious blood of Christ." But you say, "Any denomination is good. Religion is good. I'm all right. I will get by." You justify yourselves. But that is not what counts. It is what the judge says. And the Father has committed all judgment unto the Son. And it's what he says about you. And he says about you, why, you are righteous, but you're self-righteous. He says you are whole, but you are one who is whole in your own eyes. But I, as the physician, diagnose your case and say you are filled with cancer, you are filled with sin, and you need to be healed, and only my hand can do it. And yet you will not go to the physician and let him diagnose your case. you will not go to the Lord Jesus and let the judge pronounce you innocent. And therefore, you are among those whom the Savior says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You are one who says you are well. Therefore, I can do nothing for you. Let me give you another illustration, even more plain. In John chapter 9, the enemies of one who was born blind, whose eyes the Lord Jesus opened, his enemies came to Jesus and they said, we hear what you are saying. Now tell us this, are we blind? The Lord Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see. Your sin remaining. And so you are one who says, I see. The Lord Jesus said, your sin remains. If you say, I'm blind and I need the light of the world, Christ will save you. But as long as you say, I see, the Lord Jesus said, then I can do nothing for your eyes. Come to him and say, I'm blind, and the Lord Jesus will open your eyes. Come to him and say, I'm a sinner, and the Lord Jesus will forgive you your sins. But come to him and say, I am self-righteous, and the Lord Jesus can do nothing. And so it's good to be put to the test on occasion. All of you who say, I'm saved, well, let's take the test of material things and the people of God. That's all. Tell me, how much of your material possessions do you give for the advancement of the things of God? A great portion? Is the thing that concerns you most advancing the kingdom of God? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness? Make friends with the mammon of unrighteousness? Do you do that? You say, well, times are hard. I see. I just wanted to know. Because the Lord said to that man, you want treasure in heaven? Well, go sell what you have and give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. You want treasure in heaven? And so you're liable to find out that perhaps possessions and material things are of great importance to you. In fact, so great an importance that they are an idol. And at the same time, you say, yes, I'm a child of God. Well, not the test of materialism and material things, but the test of love. The Savior said this, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. But it says you have to believe on Jesus. The Bible says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed, anathema. And so believing on him means that you love him. And isn't this strange? I love the Lord Jesus. Well, at 9:30, he was remembered this morning. Where were you? You love him. And he will be here tonight to be preached, Wednesday to be taught. Every day, he goes through life as though he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I suppose since you love him so much, you walk through life day by day with him, unbroken fellowship. You see, the test is love. You say you believe, then all you have to do is listen to the Savior when he says, well, let me see something about your possessions. What do you do with them? Why, Zacchaeus passed that test. No trouble with him. He was rich, and when he was accused of being a sinner, he took his stand and he said, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have wrongfully extorted anything from any man, I restore fourfold. He passed the test. And at the same time, when it came to love, the Lord Jesus passed the test. Think of this. Here is the Holy Son of God, and prostitutes come to him, and they want to kiss his feet and wash his feet and adore him. And the Savior allows them to do it. But the Pharisees go back. They are revolted by this woman coming to the Savior. But the Savior will accept that woman's love. Isn't that strange? The Savior will accept it, and you, vile sinner, reject it along with me. And the Savior says, you being evil. And so when it comes to the test of love, the Savior passes the test of love. This is what he says. He said, all that the Father giveth me will come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. But this is a prostitute. I will in no wise cast out. But he's a traitor. He's a publican, a tax gatherer. I will in no wise cast out. He's a murderer of your own people. I will in no wise cast out. And you, the test of love, it says, in the first epistle of John, it says that he who loveth God must love his brother. And so you say, I love God, but you hate your brother. And so this older son would say, I kept your commandments. And the commandment is, the second is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I've kept your commandments. And the thing that means most to the father, he will not enter into that commandment of love. It speaks about the weightier matters of the law. And there is an entire chapter on love that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And all of you who talk about being saved and believing in Jesus, and you do not love Jesus, and you do not love the people of God. And so beware when the test of material things is given, and you turn your back and leave the Savior, and the test of love is given, and you fail. I'm speaking to all of you who say you're Christians, because a person who is in the far country, like that younger son, you know he's lost. But it's hard to see that you are lost when you're living in the same house with the Father. How can you be lost? Why, the same way that coin is lost. Here are 10 coins, and the woman loses that coin in the house. You are lost in the house of God. You are religiously lost. Now, some go to the mountains, some go to the far country, but you're just as much lost if you're lost in a corner of the house as if you're in a mountain in a far place. And some of you are religiously lost in the house. You're like Judas Iscariot sitting at that Passover table, and you are lost, whereas there are true 11 Christians with you, and you're sitting with them, and you are as near to the Lord Jesus and nearer than some of the rest. And you're partaking of that Passover supper, and yet you are lost. And so some of you, because you are religiously inclined, and you know the teachings of Jesus, and you attend some meetings, you think that you are not lost. But the test is love. And for 30 pieces of silver, Judas was prepared to sell the Savior. And as for loving, why, he let them come and apprehend the Lord Jesus Christ and nail him to a cross. Now, listen to his testimony. Listen to this one who is supposed to be righteous. When the Father, and may I tell you this, that if I were going to accuse God of having favorites, his favorite would be the elder son. You know why? Because the elder son will not go in and join the festivities. Now, the younger son in the far country stayed in the far country by himself. His father never paid a visit to him. He stayed in that far country until he came to himself, and then he came home. But this elder son will not come in, and it says the father went out and entreated him. And that's for all of you self-righteous sinners out there. I want you to know that God's gentleness and God's compassion and long-suffering is the only thing that will save you. And he's done more for you in this parable than he did for his younger son. Your hardened, unloving heart, and he goes out and he gently and tenderly says, do come in. It is fitting. This thy brother was lost and is found. He was dead and is alive again. And his father is entreating this self-righteous son to get saved as well. I said that this was the parable of certainty until it came to the elder son. And then I do not know. And thank God I do not know. Because if I knew, it may be that he never came in, but it may be that upon this personal invitation, he did come in. But this is the parable of the lost things, and I know that one sheep was saved and found, and one coin, and one son. And now the 99 are lost, and they can be found as well. Whether the one or the 99, we're all lost. Let us be found. Let us pray. Our Father, forgive us for esteeming ourselves more highly than we ought, for being willing to listen to the lies of Satan and the blindness of our own flattering dispositions and thinking that we love and that we give and that all is well with our souls, when in reality we are lost. Lost even though we are serving God and we are near to God. We've never been born again. And so help those that are blind who say we see to understand that they are blind, and then thy son shall give them sight. And the ones who are not lost in a far country but are lost in a house of religion, let them know that they are lost as well. and thy Son will save them, and they need saving, as well as those who never darken a church door. Father, we're all lost sinners in need of salvation, and some have come home, and some have trusted Christ. May it be true of us all, not the one who is found, but may the 99 be found as well. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.